Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 77 of Boston's Best, brought to you by Condon Productions. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guest on today's podcast is Masha Amelina. Masha is the owner of Visage Sculpture, which is a non-surgical face-shaping practice located in Newton. Masha grew up in Russia and moved here when she was 17. She started her career in the Department of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery at the Boston Medical Center. After working for someone else, she finally decided to start her own company, and Visage Sculpture was born. Visage is French for face. Masha is a boots-on-the-ground entrepreneur who would drive a couple hours just to do a few injections. She'll tell you firsthand that it takes patience and consistency to build a solid business, surrounding herself with the right people and just being very genuine about the approach she takes with her clientele. In this episode, we talk in depth about the full suite of services she provides her clientele, including a non-surgical nose job. That's right, non-surgical nose job. Masha's goal is for you to look rested, not fake. She dispels some common misconceptions about her industry. She also shares with us some crazy requests people will ask her to do and the age range of clients she has, with multiple clients in their 80s. And be sure to listen to the end as Masha shares the advice she gives someone looking to start their own business, what she would tell her 18-year-old self, and how she defines success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week we have Masha Amelina. She is the owner of Visage Sculpture. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for meeting me and thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity, Mark.
Absolutely. Happy to have you on Boston's Best. I've never had somebody on that is in this industry. So, and I know nothing about it. So I'm intrigued myself to learn a little bit more about just your business itself and everything that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be the first one and being the pioneer for the rest of them.
Absolutely. So before we get into the business itself, give us a little background on you. Are you originally from Massachusetts or?
Originally from Russia. Yeah. My wonderful parents decided, and I agree with them, that this is a better future for a girl to go to this amazing country. I think United States is wonderful, and I'm so grateful to this amazing country for the opportunity. So I was 17 when I came to study in Northeastern. And my dream was to be a plastic surgeon. So yeah. I was pre-med in Northeastern, and I later was in graduate school in Northeastern as well. However, I've changed my mind and I decided to cut the corners and get there faster. So I became a physician assistant. So my graduate studies were being a physician assistant. So pretty much I get to do what I wanted to do with less studying, less investment into my education.
Smart.
I tricked everyone. Yes. But yeah, so I've been here for quite a few years and, got married, had a family and stayed. So I'm a citizen of the United States.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's really cool. Way to speed up the process too, so you can start your own business.
I love shortcuts. Yeah. If you have a question or you need advice for a shortcut, here's the person.
you're the person to go to?
Oh my God. I love shortcuts. I love the easiest way with the least resistance.
It's fair enough. So after you finished at Northeastern and then ended up starting your own company, did you go right into starting your company, or was there some time in between where you worked elsewhere?
There was a wonderful time in between for which I'm so grateful. I got the job of my dreams. It was plastic and reconstructive surgery at Boston Medical Center. I'm so fortunate to have so many of my dreams come true. This was just like landed on my lap. Yeah. Pretty much the girl who worked there, she was also a physician assistant. She came to give a lecture in the PA school and sort of like tell about this wonderful profession. And I'm like, that's it. This is what I want. This is my dream. So I grabbed onto her and I'm like, how can I get in? And she's just like, well, have a rotation there. So I had a rotation. I spent like 6 weeks. I figured even more that this is what I wanted. And then I begged Dr. Anton, he was the chief of plastic surgery, to create a position for me. It took 3 months and I was waiting for it patiently. All of my friends were saying, you know, why would you do this? Just get a job. I'm like, no, this is my dream. This is my dream job. So this was exactly what I wanted. It was really tough. It was really long hours, like 60 hours per week, being on call every weekend, almost every other weekend. We would start at 7, sometimes 6, finish sometimes at 10 p.m., sometimes no lunch. It was rough, but it was literally what I dreamt of. It was everything I've ever wanted, you know, in terms of patient care, knowledge, working with amazing doctors, amazing nurses. The hospital is some of the best in Boston. It was priceless. So what I've learned, I've been there for almost 4 years. I feel like it really prepared me on so many levels to have my own practice.
Yep.
Starting from how to deal with people of different backgrounds and, you know, a little bit of psychology, patient care, bedside manner, to possibly complications, you know, for knowing how to prevent them, knowing how to recognize them, and knowing what to do, and being, you know, really confident in what I do. So after PA school, that was 4 years of reconstructive surgery.
Yep.
And then before PA school, actually, I was also lucky to work with another good surgeon for 3 years, Dr. Stephen Garrett. He was a Mohs surgeon, so cutting out skin cancers, doing reconstruction. So it's like a mini plastic surgery. So if someone has a gaping hole in the nose, he would take a flap from the forehead, you know, whip it down and stitch it up. So that was a fantastic experience as well. I was applying to medical schools, taking MCAT, and this was a temporary job that became something more permanent.
Yep.
We became colleagues, friends, and he was my guide. So he was the one who was telling me about a shortcut. You know, again, I'm so grateful to him. He's like, you know, you're romanticizing the profession of the doctor too much. It's not as romantic. You know, you're not saving lives. You have to take, orders from someone above you that sometimes you don't agree with. You kind of have to slave in the hospital as a student. You have $500,000 worth of debt.
Yeah.
So Dr. Stephen Garrett, if you're listening to this, I'm so, so grateful to you. I've met amazing people through my entire life and career who guided me, and I was smart enough to take their advice. Yeah. So that's my sort of a career story. And in terms of starting my own business, that's another really interesting story.
Yeah.
I was very happy where I worked. As I said, it was a dream job. You do burn out a little bit because you have to be at three places at the same time and you work really long hours. So I was pregnant with my son, who is now 12. So, you know, and I'm a soldier. I never complain. You know, I kind of went with the job, being heavy and everything. So one day I created this event. It was around winter holidays, I believe. I made this event for Botox. So I was doing Botox on the side. I was trying to learn while still doing surgery.
Okay.
And I created this beautiful sort of winter kind of a holiday event. I gathered a lot of new patients. I made some money for the clinic. And after the event, I stopped by at my boss's office. And I'm like, hey, Dr. Anton, I'm so proud of myself. It went so well. I made $3,000 today. He just kind of took his glasses off and looked at me kind of like up and down and said, you know, Masha, whatever you do doesn't even pay for the light in this office.
Wow.
That exact moment was, you know how they say the straw that breaks the camel's back. I'm like, oh, yeah. Watch me pay for the life of my own house, okay, doing what I'm doing today. The next day, I've contacted the rep for one of the products, and I said, I'm ready to start my business. And she's just like, wait a minute, you're like 6 or 7 months pregnant. Don't you want to just like enjoy your baby and go with the flow? I'm like, nope, you got to put me with like the best guy in Boston who provides medical directorship services to people like me.
Wow.
PAs and nurses. Yeah. So basically when you do injections as a mid-level provider, which is who I am, physician assistant.
Okay.
Another would be a nurse or a nurse practitioner. You're supposed to be under a physician, an MD.
Okay.
So they provide you their license, you pay for it, and they sort of kind of help you out if you have a mistake. So I told her, listen, I'm ready. Put me up with the best doctor. That was Dr. Russo. He's still the best in terms of helping out nurses to start a career on their own. She's like, okay, I'll set up the interview. So I came to the interview with a huge stomach. You know, I'm sitting in the waiting room. I think in scrubs with a pager. I was on call. So I sneaked out of the hospital for the interview with Dr. Russo. And then I remember getting up from the chair and his office manager is just like looking at me like, what are you doing here? Like, she didn't say that, but she kind of looked at me like, what's that?
Wow.
And I'm like, Dr. Russo, I'm ready to start my own business. And he also like, don't you want to just enjoy the baby? I'm like, nope, I'm ready to start my business. So I started my business. Being 8 months pregnant or 7 months pregnant, I signed a contract with Dr. Russo.
Okay.
He was very graceful to allow me to use his office. So I had maybe two patients a week. So, you know, I would escape the hospital, drive through the whole city in traffic just to see one person to do Botox. I made it.
Yeah.
I was very excited and passionate. So that's how I started. You know, that's how you start. You fight for each client. You're grateful for each client. You drive for hours to just see this person, you know, and you do your best. And you hope that this person will tell someone else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at first, when you start a business, it's you gotta try it. You gotta meet up with as many people as possible and do whatever you can to get those first few clients and hope they turn into referrals and eventually.
Oh my God! You know, yeah, there's a lot of legwork. So I was walking from one spot to another spot with a little suitcase like a homeless person, trying to sell myself and saying, "Hey guys, my name is Masha. Do you need an injector?" And you know, one spot out of five would say, okay, we'll consider that. Do you want to come and do like a free service for people who work here or like do a free presentation, buy food? So that's what I was doing for a while. You know, I was pretty much going from one place to the other, doing my little presentation, serving wine and cheese and sort of telling people what's possible.
Yeah.
And back then, there was not as much, competition is not a good word. I don't believe in competition, but very few people were offering the services. So I believe back then it was a little bit easier. I was very lucky. And usually many clients who would attend the presentation, you know, they see, oh, okay, she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
They would come and they would actually have a procedure. That's how I built the business. It took probably 3 years of traveling from one place to the other with a little suitcase, looking like a homeless person with all my needles and injectables.
Yeah.
In it, yeah.
A suitcase full of needles driving around.
Suitcase full of needles and goodies, you know, to just inject people.
So what year was it where you actually officially started Visage? And then do you have a physical location now, right?
Correct. So I'm very fortunate to have a beautiful state-of-the-art office. It was my dream. And again, it took over 10 years to actually get where I wanted to be, you know, to have my own place, to own it, to make it as beautiful as I've wanted it to be. Even though I'm a dreamer, a mover and a shaker, you know, good things take time.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, I've registered Visage Sculpture, a company, actually the year when I was pregnant and had my son, 2009. So that was a while ago, almost 13 years ago, 12 and a half. I came up with a name. The idea is to shape the face. And, you know, I was trying to sort of make it less invasive in the name, you know, shaping the face rather than stabbing it with needles.
Yeah. Yeah. Not exactly good for marketing where, you know.
No. Yeah. And the visage, I mean, it's just like, I guess I was trying to be fancy, you know. Visage is just French for a face. So
sounds fancy.
Yes, really fancy. That's the story of the name and how the company was started. But before I actually had a physical location, before I was able to hire a receptionist, before I was able to be a business, I think it was a good 3 years of a lot of legwork, you know, sort of traveling and gathering clients and promoting myself. And I would drive sometimes for 2 hours to a spa, you know, to just have, you know, 2-3 clients and to tell them about me and what I can do.
Yeah, that's how you build the business, though. That's how it starts, and for a lot of businesses. So where are you located now? Your physical location? So
my physical location is in Newton Center, right off Route 9.
Okay.
It's very convenient. You just get off. There's a huge parking lot. There's there's a lot of room. And I think it was one of the questions: how did COVID affect my business? And I was just gonna say, it was nothing but the best for the business. To be honest with you.
How so? Yeah.
Many reasons. One of the reasons, I don't have any other name for it, but tightening the bolts, you know, sort of just like being very precise with, you know, timing of when someone comes in and leaves, cleaning the room, using the UV light. I love it. You know, it almost sounds a little surgical, but I love that we have protocol. I love that we have rules. And I'm not OCD. Like, I'm not this type of person. I'm very easygoing. Yeah. But I think it's very good. And it makes everything feel so structured, organized. And
yeah.
To be honest with you, it's stress-free. So I actually love that people are waiting in the car and they're calling and we're telling them when to come in. I love that they never meet in the waiting room. Honestly, it eliminates any sort of stress. You know, it's one person at a time. It's my undivided attention. Nobody's standing and breathing over my neck. You know, are you there yet? You know, so I'm fully in the moment. I loved it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, when you started Visage, right? Like, obviously a lot of challenges, like just starting your own company, driving 2 hours just to see a couple people. What are some of the early successes that you experienced when you started your own business, where you knew that you were on to something pretty special?
When people tell you things, you know, when people are grateful, when people are happy, when they come back, when they refer clients, it's so special. Well, that's a success, I think, for beginners, you know, when people trust you.
Yeah.
I still, you know, 13 years later, I still don't take it for granted. Someone comes in just from searching for me on Google or Instagram. People come in, they pay, you know, $100 for consult. They wait for it for weeks. They come in and they say, you can do whatever you want for me. I cannot get used to it still. Do I deserve it? By all means, yes. But it still touches me. Every time someone does it, I'm like, wow. Yeah. It's so special. I'm so grateful for this level of trust. I'm amazed that you can achieve this. And someone can just read your reviews and say, yeah, I know who you are. You can do whatever you want, that trust you implicitly.
That's awesome. That's really
very
cool.
Special. Yeah.
Yes. So I know nothing about this industry. So from people like myself and anybody else who doesn't know anything about the industry, what are the full suite of just, you know, procedures and services that you provide that people come to you for?
Fantastic question. And I think the semi-negative image of what I do is all these girls who don't do justice to my profession on Instagram with over inflated lips and cheeks and carbon copy of each other. You know, I don't do that. So my entire intention and goal of what I do is to empower people, allow them to feel the most beautiful, to appreciate their beauty that God gave them, and to maintain it and preserve it and to enhance it, to feel confident.
Okay.
That's it. I don't crop faces. I don't do anything crazy. I don't enjoy it. I love to empower and encourage and lift people up. You know, we are emotional beings, and sometimes we're just feeling down and we need to pick me up. So someone comes in, you know, and they want, you know, so many things done. And I'm like, so why are you doing this? It's like, oh, broke up with your boyfriend, or, you know, like, I'm depressed. I'm like, well, do you really need all of that?
Yeah.
So I don't do fish lips, duck lips. I don't bluntly just do what people tell me, you know, like, I want the syringe of filler in my cheeks. Like, what's your goal? You know, your goal is to look rested, you know, not to have cheekbones. So, so that's sort of what I do. And what separates my business, I think, from the whole slew of them is that I'm very selective about what I offer. Okay. I don't do any lasers. It's not for me. I have zero intention of being the best of Boston, spa, you know, printed all the magazines. I just want to cater to people who want to look natural and rested. You want to look your best, and you don't want anyone to come up to you and say, oh, hey, who's your injector? You know, like, that's not me.
No.
I want people to come up to you and say, like, wow, you look so rested. Did you go on vacation? Are you in love? Are you, you know, did you get a good night's sleep? You know, that's my goal, really. And I'm very selective about what I do and what I don't do. So there's a lot of hot trends, you know, and my clients always ask me, oh, why don't you do PRP? Why don't you do threads? I'll try anything once or twice. I'm very adventurous. Yeah. But if I don't feel like it gives benefit to my clients, I'm not going to do it just because it's a hot trend.
Yeah.
My rule of thumb, if I wouldn't do this procedure on myself or my mom or my friend, I'm not going to offer it to you.
Okay.
You know, if I think that I'm harming and I'm overcharging for something that's not half as valuable, I don't care about the trend, you know, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what I do. And I also have to mention, I talk a lot, huh? Do you want me to sort of let you talk a little
No, this is about you and Visage. You know, this is about you and your company, just everything you guys offer people and what you do. So feel free. You can.
Yeah, well, I'm very passionate about what I do.
I can tell. I love it.
You opened the Pandora's box. Now you can't stop. So my favorite thing of all times, it just doesn't get old. It just doesn't. The non-surgical nose jobs. I feel like it's very unique to my practice. There's very few people in Boston who even talk about it, not to say offer it. You know, if you go on Google, I think you'll find a couple of plastic surgeons who mention it. But I have to say it's probably number one procedure that I'm known for and I'm good at. And I've been doing it for 13 years almost. And you can change the shape of the nose completely with just a few shots of filler. And really? There is a way to make it stay for years. And it costs a fraction of the cost of a regular surgical nose job. So
really,
that's my biggest passion.
Okay. Not fair enough. All right. Let's say I come in. So like my wife and I have at the time of this recording, we have a 6-week old daughter. Right. And oh, now, like, no, thank you. Thank you. I'm very tired. Obviously. But I'm now in pictures, I'm starting to notice, like, what do they call them? Like crow's feet, like on the corner of my eyes. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. Do you have like people come in just for something like that to try to make them look a little bit more rested than, you know, just the lines right there at the corner of their eyes, like I have?
100%. But you know what I would tell you if you came as a client?
Yeah.
I would say, call up your mom and say, "Mom, I need a couple of days off. Here's the baby. Here's the milk. Yeah. Go rent a hotel and sleep."
Yeah. We need
it's
sleep.
It's going to fix all your problems.
Yeah.
It's going to fix all your problems.
Yeah.
But all jokes aside, I mean, really, people look aged when they don't get enough sleep, when they're tired, exhausted, when they don't spend enough time on themselves. It's just a time in your life. But a quick fix, yes. A small amount of Botox can really give you that instant gratification. It's not expensive. So I would tell you, let's just do, you know, a few units. You're going to spend a couple hundred. It's going to last, you know, 4 to 5 months. And it's going to certainly put you in a better mood when you look in the mirror. So, you know, even though you're exhausted, your face is going to look like you had a good night's sleep. Why not? You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So what's the process like if somebody comes in and they want like a couple, like, I don't know, even know what that means. A couple of units of Botox. Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, does it hurt? Is it a sting? Like, is there a recovery process? Like, how does it work? I guess.
So the coolest thing about what I do is that it's so fast, it's so easy, and you can do it while you're still at work. You know, sort of a lot of people work on Zoom nowadays, so they'll just sneak out for like 40 minute appointment. And, you know, I usually can put a little makeup and they go right back and they right in front of the camera, just like I am with you. And by the way, a little secret, I actually did inject myself yesterday.
So oh, really?
That's very ironic. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think this interview will be recorded, sort of taped, you know, I thought it's just audio. So, you know, I have like a little bruise I covered, you know, over here. It's okay.
Can't tell.
You know, it's not a big deal. So people just have it done and they go straight back to work.
Okay.
You know, right in front of the Zoom camera. In terms of pain, I don't like pain at either end, causing it or receiving it. So I have so many ways to reduce it. I have so many tricks. And most of the clients who were conscious of it or afraid of it, at the end of the procedure say, it wasn't half as bad as they imagined. And then usually second, third visit, people are so at ease. They know that I'm very gentle. They know that I work very fast. They know that it's a very temporary discomfort. We use a ton of numbing cream. We're very generous with it. I use a lot of ice packs. And I think through the years of injecting, I really figured out what's the fastest way to do it with great results, minimal pain. So it's really not bad. Here's the best compliment I've got. One of the best compliments I've got from my clients. And it's very consistent. They say that having a facial hurts more than what I do. Okay, there you go.
Really?
Yes. So the real facial, you know, like when they squeeze the blackheads or the pimples, consistently people say regular facial hurts a lot more than what I do.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I've never had one done, but I just imagine like nice soft lotions and like soap on my skin.
It's an image, you know, but a real facial, they like really add it. They really squeeze you. It's painful.
Okay.
You know, it's really painful. Extraction is painful, like the old fashioned way. Nowadays they use machines like HydraFacial. So yes, that's very pleasant. It's not painful. Okay. But the old fashioned way is very painful.
Okay. So fair enough.
I even have laughing gas. Can you imagine? It's a total overkill. Using laughing gas for my procedures is like killing a mosquito with a gun. I'm not kidding. You know, I think people requested it in the past just like as an entertainment factor. It's like, oh yeah, let me try it. Ha ha, this is so much fun. But it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. I always joke that consults take half an hour just to make sure that I answer all your questions and make you comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what to expect. Procedure, 5 to 10 minutes.
That's it.
But most of them, nose job takes 5 minutes, Botox takes 5 minutes. If I'm doing 4 things in one, sometimes I do like a cocktail of things, sort of top to bottom. We do a little filler, a little sculpture, a little this, a little that. All right. It could take 20 minutes. That's true. You know, because it's like the whole face.
Yeah.
But generally, I think average is probably 7 to 10 minutes.
No kidding. Wow. I had no idea. So how many patients do you typically see on average in a given day?
On average. So before COVID, we used to see slightly more clients.
Yeah,
I used to have more employees. So we ran 2 rooms and we had like a thing, you know, so a person would bring a client, put the night in cream, get a coffee, and I'm finishing up another room. So it was a flow, but I'll be honest with you, it was a little bit busy. And if I'm running late or a client running late, that's just a little stressful. We don't have that anymore. So instead of 20 people a day, I see 15 a day. All right. Okay. So we cut down a little bit, but the flow is so beautiful and peaceful.
Yeah.
Nobody's in the rush. Nobody's late. Even if the client is running late, I can usually catch up. I have plenty of time to scrub the room after and, you know, use the lights. I love it. So to be honest with you, when COVID is over, we're going to keep it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Because that kind of impacted me as well. I am like, I used to have meetings in person, drive into the city. Now everything's Zoom. And with at least in my business with Zoom, I got too into, like, I couldn't turn it off because I work from home now. And now going into 2022, I'm having just a set of meetings every single day, especially now with, you know, with the little one at the house, like a set of meetings every single day. And I'm not stressed anymore. I just have a few
That's
meetings.
Great. Every day.
It's so, oh my God. I was running around ragged trying to make sure everything was good to go. And I was always working way too many hours. And now it's just set amount of meetings every single day. And this has helped out.
I'm so happy for you. This is the silver lining of COVID. I mean, I hate everything about COVID, but this is the silver lining. I think people spend more time with family.
Oh, totally.
People manage time a little better with work. And I'm certainly going to keep the same schedule after this is over, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think it's funny now. Like, as crazy as and all any negative things that have happened due to COVID, I think there's so many positives have actually come out of it. Like what you just said, people spending more time with family. Like now me even driving into Boston, like the whole thought of it just seems like a complete inefficient use of my time. Like,
it stresses you out, right?
Oh my God, it's awful. Like I'm upstairs, like changing my daughter's diaper and I got like, oh, I got a meeting in 6 minutes. I couldn't do that. You know, I couldn't do that beforehand. It's changed the landscape entirely. I love it.
Yeah. What a blessing. I'm so happy for you. Enjoy. It's such a special time. It's true. You know, it's such a cliche. They say they grow so fast. It's true. And you know what? I worked way too much when my kids were little. So I'm making up now. Like, you know, I don't work past like, you know, 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
And people was like, well, can you just squeeze me? Why don't you work in the weekend? Nope.
No.
This is sacred. This is my family.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You know, I love my job. I really love my job. I express myself. I'm so fortunate. I'm so lucky. But at the end of the day, it's your family that really makes you, you know?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. It's crazy how quickly the whole, like the whole perspective changes once you have children.
You figured that out early. Good for you.
Yeah.
Your daughter's very lucky.
Yeah. I am lucky I work from home too. I am lucky that I work.
Yeah.
But So how did, when you started, obviously like to now, social media has kind of taken over. How do you mainly promote yourself or market yourself? Is it mainly through social media these days and just kind of word of mouth?
These days, yes. So it's very interesting correlation. The more years I'm in business, the more it is Google. So and Instagram. So people see your work or your posts. I always ask, how did you hear about me? How did you hear about me? How did you hear about me? So I would say 70-75% Instagram, and then I Googled you, and then I went to Yelp and reviews and years of experience. You're all over the place. I trust you. Yeah. Right. And then like a little bit, like that 20-25% is word of mouth. So like, you know, my mother comes to you, my friend, you know, I saw your beautiful work. At the beginning of my career, of my business, I would say it was completely reversed. It was 80% word of mouth. So if you did a good job, people would bring a relative, you know, and then right. you do promotions, you know, you do right. like, oh, get one filler, get one free area of Botox. So, you know, you try to lure people in, you know, so they'll see how good you are. Yeah. So I was relying a lot on that.
Okay.
And then social media back then, like 13 years ago, I don't think it mattered as much. No. I don't even think. Yeah. Instagram was just being born.
Yeah.
And Google, I've done some advertisements. I've done a magazine. I've done Improper Bostonian, I think. Yes. Very expensive.
Yeah.
I did get some clients out of it, and they're very, very high quality clients. So I think it sort of paid off.
Yeah.
But overall, I feel like at the beginning of your career, it's doing a fantastic job and giving a good deal, being generous, and then giving promotions. So like you brought a client, give a discount, you know, yeah. sort of growing the business this way. Oh, also estheticians and hairstylists. Thank you guys so much, because yeah. I would say a good portion of my business at the beginning was thanks to them. Usually those people are very attractive, very social, you know, yeah. everybody wants to look at them. So while they're working, you know, they're talking. And then talk you up. So, yeah. you know, I've always taken care of them. I've always given them a great price. And
nice.
That's how you build, at yeah. least in my industry. I don't know about other industries. But right now, I would say Instagram is really, really, really important, because I think that's what people do. That's yeah. what I do. You yeah. know, and I'm ashamed to say that. You know, I'm addicted, just like totally. Everyone else. It's very soothing. You know, it's decompression. Yeah. You know, I don't really yeah. watch TV, but it's just like, oh, finally, I can sit on my phone. You just like browse, you know?
Yeah. 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 Everybody does it. Everybody just finds themselves. Like, by default, I find myself, as soon as I open my phone, the very first thing I go to is Instagram. The very first one I go to, just by default.
It's the quick dopamine, you know? It's,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
quickest way to get what you want.
Yeah.
You
know? Agreed.
It's not even drinking anymore. It's Instagram. Yeah.
One question I got for you. Yeah. Be curious. Is there like some, have you ever gotten like some like crazy request that somebody's come in and like something that comes to mind, or some crazy request, or somebody that's like, I guess, like what's like the youngest person that's ever come into your office and like the oldest person? Like, I'm just kind of curious. Those weird questions.
Cool question. Really, really cool questions. And the answer is going to be extremely entertaining.
Okay.
But it's kind of two questions in one. So let me separate. Yeah. So the first question was, did you ever get any crazy requests? All the time.
I believe.
And there's two categories of crazy requests. There's one that actually pushes me to be a better injector and a better provider. So I kind of evaluate really quickly. Is there like a lot of risk in it, then benefit? And then if there's not, I'm like, you know, so a lot of beautiful students, girls from China. Again, another huge thank you. These yeah. are the people that I'm so grateful for. Because these are the people who pushed me to try things that I probably would never try again. They asked me, oh, can you do Botox in my calves to make my legs look smaller? And I'm like, what a crazy idea. Wow. And then I'm like, well, let me do the research. And then I'm like, well, there's not much research, but let me do my own research. Okay, yeah. So the muscle is that big. So if I use that much, I'm not going to hurt anyone. And I'm like, you know what? Well, let me try a little bit and we'll go with the flow. So let me try, yeah. you know, that many units, come back in 3 weeks, let's reevaluate. And results were mind blowing.
No
and
way.
That's how I got to do reduction of jaw, reduction of calves, like it's the crazy stuff. You know, some things I do, like I wouldn't believe that it's possible with little things, you know,
yeah.
and it's so expensive. Noses, actually it was accidental finding. The girl who was doing Botox, she said, She had a nose job done and she wasn't happy because it was crooked and she had a couple of divots. And I'm like, oh, well, I can feel that. And as I'm feeling the divots, I'm like, oh my God, I can do so much more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, what if I just like, and then I started researching and there was only one guy in California who was doing it 13 years ago. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Here's my thing.
That's pretty cool.
And you experiment and you experiment safely, you know. I don't do anything outrageous, you know. Even with the nose, I would go to an anatomy lab, find my teacher who actually teaches medical students, spend time with cadavers, you know, to make sure I'm not gonna hurt anyone. I'm not just gonna, you know, recklessly do random stuff that people ask me, you know. But I feel like I have this like safe environment with my knowledge from surgery and some great resources like that teacher. You know, and I experimented.
Yeah.
So those are the people that make you better. You know, well, can you do this? I don't know. Can I? Let's see, you know.
Yeah.
And then there are people who have a very, very sad negative image of themselves. And it could be different reasons. Again, depression or bad relationship, you know, God knows why. But people start doing things to themselves that they shouldn't be doing. So if someone comes into my office and they don't look human, I'm not gonna do anything. I would say, you know what? You need to really rest your face. You need to stop injecting stuff.
Yeah.
Like take a break, take a year off, you know, like I'm not gonna touch you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and if they don't listen, I fire them. Just the other day, unfortunately, I had to fire a client, the beautiful, beautiful, stunning girl who kept asking me to do something it's not good for her. It's not good, it's not, and I'm telling her, listen, you're so pretty. Why are you doing this to yourself? All right.
Yeah.
And she, you know, just a little bit. I'm like, I'm sorry, I cannot do it to you. And my advice, don't ask for anyone to do it because I'm going to take advantage of you, you know, but I'm not going to do stuff just because people pay me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's good on you. That's sad. Yeah. You know, that's the other kind of like, that's the downfall to social media too, right? Like social media is really good in a lot of ways, but social media, on the other side, people are seeing and following these, you know, these models and these influencers that are promoting stuff and sometimes can feel bad, you know, about themselves, just self-image.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. So I feel sometimes it feels like a waste of energy, but I'm following my heart and I sit people down and I spend a good half an hour explaining, you know, what's good and what's bad, what's going to look good on you. And it's so easy to take advantage of people. People just ready to do crazy stuff and pay a lot of money. I'm not going to participate in that.
Yeah.
So that was first part of the question.
Yeah, yeah.
The second part of the question, what's the youngest patient and what's the oldest patient? I had a couple of moms bringing their daughters aged probably 16 and 17 to do nose jobs.
Okay.
So at that age, the nose doesn't really change much anymore.
Yeah.
And as long as mom consents and as long as, you know, we're doing something safe, it's okay. So it's been a couple of 16-year-olds. In terms of the oldest clients, I have quite a few. And they're really beautiful people inside out. And they don't look their age. And they're really fun. And I feel like I learned so much from them. I almost feel like I have this little community of friends amongst my patients who come in. And I'm so looking forward to seeing them and just talking to them because they're so fun. So I have a couple of brilliant women who are like, complete characters and so much fun in their 80s.
Wow. You know,
and they're so inspirational because to be honest with you, I think they have much more interesting, much more fulfilling lives and outlook on life than some of the 20-year-olds that I've met. So
it's, sure.
It's really cool. It's
That's really cool
to hang out with them. Yeah.
That's really cool. Let me ask you this. What do you see, you know, you've been around for 13 years. What do you see for the future of visage sculpture?
A lot of clients ask me that, but they kind of ask it with kind of the selfish twist, like, well, even if you marry a millionaire, you're not going to retire, right?
That was going to be my follow-up question. Do you ever picture yourself completely retiring? You seem like a really hard worker. That was going to be the follow-up question.
Right. So I love what I do. I'm living a dream. It doesn't get old. My dad, who used to be a surgeon, he told me, you know, he really envies me because it's truly what I love and nobody tells me what to do and I express myself fully.
Yeah.
But he always told me, in a way, you're going to burn out just like everyone. You know, it's going to get old. It doesn't get old.
13 years later.
Like a first time. Every time I do the nose, I have this feeling of, Wow.
That's so
this
cool.
This is crazy. Like, it's crazy that I can do this and make someone that happy in 5 minutes for just like a fraction of the cost of the surgery. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get old when people come in and say, you know, like, I wanted it for years, you know, and you help someone to fulfill that dream. I am so blessed to have that in my life. It's so hard to give up. Speaking about dopamine, I mean, it's like, it's a drug. It's addictive.
Yeah, that's
easiest
awesome.
Easiest way to get pleasure. You know, you show up to work, people are looking forward to seeing you. They say, I've been waiting for this appointment for weeks. All right, or for months, you know, finally, nice to meet you. And, you know, you get to do what you want to do and make someone that happy. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm not going to give up my job. Yeah.
No, that's such a cool feeling.
I have to, even if I don't have to work. And the thing is, I believe there will be a day and a time when I don't have to work, when I won't depend on my income. I will still work.
Yeah.
You know, I will still do what makes me so happy.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I find that pretty common amongst just entrepreneurs and business owners in general, because most of them actually love what they do, right? It's like when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. You actually just enjoy, this is what you get to do, and you get to get paid to do it, you know? So outside of work, because I know you're a super hard worker, what are some of the hobbies that you do outside of work and that you enjoy taking part of?
All right, don't be jealous, because it's another dream come true. I started dancing this year, and I've always dreamt of dancing since I was 8 years old, but it was like a negative connotation in Russia where I'm coming from. Ballroom dancing is too sexual. So my mom told me no. So when I was 8 years old, she kind of told me, no, like you can't do this. So they kind of steered me towards a school of music. So I was playing guitar and piano and all kinds of stuff for 9 years just to keep myself busy. And then, you know, I just didn't get a chance to dance. My ex-husband wasn't into it, you know? So I never had, you know, a chance to express myself. So finally, I'm living another dream. I've joined an amazing studio, Moves and Vibes in Cambridge. The teachers are out of this world, and every lesson just flies by. The lesson is an hour, it feels like a second. You know, I come in and I'm like, wait a minute, the lesson is over. What do you mean the lesson is over? We just started. And to finally do what you wanted to do, and I can't describe the happiness, both on physical and mental level. The stimulation is amazing. So it's a huge hobby. I think I dance sometimes 3-4 days a week. So
good for you. That's awesome.
If I do something, I do it with my whole passion.
Yeah, seriously. No, that's great. That's like it's a mental release, and like, you know, it's physical exercise too, which is both incredibly important. So that's awesome.
It's amazing. It's very stimulating for your brain, you know, because sometimes when you're trying to integrate what someone tells you and sort of trying to transcribe it into physical movement.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of details, so you have to kind of do several things at the same time. You know what? It's very humbling. It's very, very humbling, because, you know, I'm so used to things being easy, you know, at work. It's just, you know, it's like breathing. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And then suddenly you go to ground zero again, and you're like, you're a student, you're the worst in the class. It's really, really humbling.
Humbling, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's awesome. All right, Masha. So last few questions that I ask every guest on Boss's Best. I'd love to hear your answers. The first one is, what advice would you give someone who's looking to start their own business? Doesn't have to be, you know, in your industry, but just in business in general.
So I have maybe two words of advice. Number one, follow your heart. Yeah. Don't listen to what people tell you. Very often your parents, they want the best for you. So they want the safest thing, and they want the surest thing, you know, something that makes money. Thirds of your life at work, you're going to spend more time at work than you spend with your husband or your wife. So you better love it. You better love what you do. So if you have something in your heart that tells you, you know what, this is my dream. Even if people tell you, you know what, you're wrong, it's not going to make money, it's going to take too many years, always follow your heart. Even if you fail, at least you tried.
Right.
You know, life is, I don't like the saying life is short. I think life is long, but you never know. So you never know. So live to the fullest every day.
Love
don't it. Be afraid to take risks. What's the worst that's going to happen? Okay, you lose money. you're going to make it again. You're young. Okay. Right. You'll recover from that. You will, you know, find a new opportunity. I've had a lot of people who came up to me before I started the business and say, oh, who's going to come to you? You're not even a doctor, you know?
Oh, really?
You know how many people said that? It's like, you're not even a doctor. Who's going to trust their face to you?
Yeah.
You know? And same people called a few years later trying to get an appointment, you know? Hey, can you just take me at the end of the day? No, I can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Nope. Sorry.
No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of people who will tell you stuff, you know, they're just projecting their own fears on you, you know, so don't hang out with negative people. That's the best advice. Don't hang out with negative people.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's fantastic advice. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest one. And then persistence, you know, like, unfortunately, things don't happen overnight. I love things happening overnight. I love shortcuts.
Yeah.
It takes time. Good things take time. So you need to keep doing it. Keep believing in yourself and don't give up. Something didn't work. Try something else. You know? Right.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Two good pieces of advice. If you could tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell her?
I would tell myself two things, actually.
Okay.
One is actually not related to career, but I would tell myself that, you know, you are beautiful. You're good enough. You know, you don't have to prove everything to everyone. You know, you're good enough.
I love it. No, it's good.
I would myself, and I would just say, you know, you're good enough. And the second thing I would tell to myself that it always works out at the end. Always.
Yep. Agreed. You know? The harder you work, it usually works out.
You always get what you want. You always achieve. You will get there, you know, somehow. Yeah. So, you know, there's no need to worry. There's no need to stress. Just have fun, you know, try to have as much fun as possible and be in the moment and enjoy it rather than, oh, when I'm reaching famous. Oh, when I, you know, just enjoy the process. Life is so beautiful. It's so amazing. Take the stress out of it.
Love it. All right. Last question. Everyone has a varying depiction of how they define success, right? So how do you define success?
Being in harmony with what you have.
Boom.
You know?
Love it.
That's it. You can't say it any better or shorter than this, because, you know, if you have money, but you don't have time to spend it, if you have money, but you don't have health, if you have money, but you're 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know, being able to appreciate what you have, being able to be grateful, being able to be in the moment rather than, you know, worrying about the future.
Yeah.
That's happiness. That's what life is about, you know?
Yeah. I love it. I think that's a great way to end it. Masha, thank you very much for coming on Boss's Best, talking about visage sculpture. Really appreciate the time.
Mark, thank you so much for inviting me. You're a wonderful person and you have amazing questions and amazing mission to promote businesses. And congratulations on the baby.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.